It is Free Talk Live, and you can dial toll-free to join us here and bring up whatever is on your mind. Our number here is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian.
And Chris.
And Daryl.
And, of course, you can bring up anything that is on your mind. That is the point here on Free Talk Live. Of course, we always bring stuff to the table that we think you might find of use. We've got some international-related headlines here tonight. Coming up, Chris, you're going to be telling us about the EU. Apparently, there's some new regulations or laws in place that will allow for censorship.
Yeah, there's already a lot of censorship, but more censorship.
It's going to get worse, yeah. Apparently, so we can talk about that. Of course, Venezuela defaulting on loan payments, that's bad news.
It was only a matter of time.
Yep, it was only a matter of time, and we can tell you what that means for that country, which is spiraling down into just a hellacious pit of socialism. And, of course, you can take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE like freedom. But let's start things out a little closer to home, Daryl. You've got a couple of interesting stories on the way here tonight. I'm not sure which one you want to throw out there first.
I've got the Detroit story pulled up, so let's go ahead and start with that
story.
What
sort of bad news is coming out of Detroit? Because it's not normally good news.
It's not normally good news. This more on the interesting side. Story here from Reason.com. Last week in Detroit, undercover cops posing as drug dealers got into a public brawl with undercover cops posing as drug buyers. The local Fox station calls the fight, which involved drawn guns, flying fists, and at least two dozen officers.
Whoa.
A case of the good guys going after the good guys.
12 officers?
At least two dozen.
Oh, wow. So,
that's crazy.
Wow. So like a dozen on each side.
Over 24. Yes.
Wow. And nobody knew the other side was their side.
Well, they were from different precincts, which makes it a little more understandable, maybe. But yeah, you would think that there would be some kind of communication.
Don't they have like jurisdiction and stuff? Like, you don't go in this area and stuff, and
well,
you don't
it's
go in that
all
area.
Within the city of Detroit. So just because, you are, working on the 27th Street office and I'm North Street, it's still the same city. So it's not like they were bringing in people from Ann Arbor.
They're in their same jurisdictions. It's different.
Correct.
Okay.
But again,
and there's a lot of cops in these places, so they don't know each other.
The local Fox affiliate says it's a case of the good guys going after the good guys. Reason says
it's not.
No.
That description
definitely not.
Is debatable. Mm-hmm. The fake drug dealers, who were from the city's 12th precinct, plan to arrest anyone who approached them and seized their vehicles, actions that would rightly be recognized as assault, kidnapping, and theft, but for the warped moral logic of the war on drugs. The fake drug buyers from the 11th precinct plan to arrest people for agreeing to a consensual exchange of merchandise for money. They ordered the other cops to the ground, in which case the two officers from the 12th precinct must have realized they had mistaken colleagues for criminals and that their colleagues had made the same mistake. Yet, they all got into a fight anyway. After the initial confrontation, WJBK reports, the rest of the special ops team from the 12th precinct showed up and started to raid the drug house. The homeowner stood and watched as guns were drawn, punches were thrown, at least one officer was taken to the hospital. The Daily Mail reports the incident was recorded by body cameras. WJBK says each officer involved is now under investigation as the department tries to determine what went wrong.
My God, this footage would be priceless. If somebody can file a Freedom of Information Act and get all the different angles, imagine the epic multi-cam. I mean, you had two dozen cops there.
Imagine
the epic multi-angle, multi-cam video that could be cut from this.
Right, but see, because this is all an internal investigation, they'll probably wind up saying that the body camera footage is not subject to FOIA, which is
because
what happens.
Because it's an employment-related issue, or what?
Well, there's a lot of cases where they just wind up saying that the body cam footage is not subject to FOIA.
Based on
that's what the statute says,
really?
Ian. Yes.
They can just exempt anything they want?
Basically,
that
yes.
That sucks. I'm sorry. This is clearly something the taxpayers have an interest in knowing about, and they should absolutely be able to get access to this footage. If you're in Michigan and you know you live in the Detroit area and you've got the video editing skills, man, this would be amazing.
Of course, I'm speculating here that this is not subject to FOIA because I remember there was a bill going through the New Hampshire legislature a couple of years ago to give body cameras. And one of the things was that it would not be subject to FOIA unless certain criteria were met.
Huh.
So, you know, since that was what was being proposed here and it was testified that that's standard language.
They probably, well, I guess some of the objections would be there would be people on the cameras who didn't consent, and so therefore they can't give out their images without their consent.
If it's a public place.
Well, this would have been a private home, right? This was inside.
No, they were brawling in the street.
In the street, okay, yeah. Okay.
Outside of the drug house where the homeowner was, quote, standing and watching.
The other excuse would be, oh, well, these were undercover agents, so we can't release that footage.
Right.
But you can film an undercover agent.
If you were there,
street.
You could.
Right.
But you weren't.
And again, this is a personnel matter because it's internal investigation. There's not a criminal case here.
No. Of course not. It's never criminal when it comes to the police.
A personnel
right?
matter, internal investigation. Again, WJBK, the local Fox affiliate there in Detroit, says each officer involved is now under investigation as the department tries to determine what went wrong.
Okay, boys, you go sit in that corner over there, and you go sit in that corner over there, and you've both been very naughty today.
Reason says what went wrong, aside from the obvious lack of coordination and professionalism, is that the government decided to violently insert itself into peaceful transactions between consenting adults, which led police officers to pose as such so they could lock other people in cages for actions that violate no one's rights. In this case, each side of the transaction wanted to lock up the other, and each side understandably resented the other's intention, but at least the collateral damage was kept to a minimum. Maybe this is how the war on drugs should be waged from now on.
It's a hilarious story, and it's nice to see the cops finally getting a taste of their own medicine to some extent there, even though nobody's going to be brought up on charges for being involved in this particular fight, likely.
Right.
There's likely not going to be anything more than a stern talking to that these officers in question will receive.
Oh, you're assuming they'll get a stern talking to.
So I said there'll likely be nothing more than. I did not assume they would get that.
Okay.
If they get something, that'll be about as severe as it gets.
Paid vacation is what they're getting. They're getting a paid vacation.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, it sounds like gang-on-gang violence, but it's of the
it
same
is.
Gang.
Yeah, it is. Internal gang violence.
Yeah.
It's like if
case.
The Crips went undercover to infiltrate the Bloods, but the Bloods that they were infiltrating were also the Crips posing
or
as
something.
The Bloods.
Yeah. Wow. I hope we hear more about this, and regardless, I hope somebody at the very least asks to try to get the footage just so they can get the denial or whatever. And
yeah.
You know, I think this would be just amazing. And if somebody did actually catch footage of this while, like somebody standing at their in their yard watching this happen, because it was just in some neighborhood.
So there was a homeowner who was there. I wonder if he filmed it.
Probably not.
Probably scared to death.
Yeah, you're probably right.
No, it also appears
and
to
he may not
imply
know
that,
that
he was the owner of the house that they were using as
the drug house.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he knew they were cops. Maybe he didn't.
He might have known that part
one
of
side.
Them were cops.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe like the stories, and I read the story from Fox, and it's a little ambiguous as far as who exactly the homeowner is. Was he somebody that agreed to let them use his house as a dummy house? A little unclear there.
All right, toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. According to a quick Google here, there appears to be some kind of footage that has been released. So I'm going to see if we can screen that here in moments. And then also, Daryl, you wanted to dig in a little further on this issue of police body cams, so we can do that too. You can share your thoughts with us on Free Talk Live. Yeah! This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here toll-free at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and our Skype username is lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And Daryl.
So, the good news is somebody leaked some footage of undercover cops.
Let me see more of that.
That we were talking about in the first segment of the show, where, Daryl, you shared a story about cops from two different precincts in Detroit. One group of them was acting as drug dealers in a home.
Yes.
The other group were undercover agents trying to bust drug dealers. And
acting as buyers.
Right. The attempted bust turned into a brawl between two different groups of undercover cops who were literally fighting it out in like the entryway and the porch of this home. You can see in this footage them pushing one another and shoving and shouting and getting very, very, you know, loud and violent. The footage that we saw came from WXYZ, one of the TV stations, I believe ABC TV, up in Detroit. It's not clear how ABC or how WXYZ actually got a hold of the footage.
They said sources, which leads me to believe that someone they did not get it through a Freedom of Information request.
It sounds to me like somebody in the police department leaked this footage to them. That's my guess.
That's what it sounds like to me as well.
And now we have not seen the footage itself, like clearly. There's a 2 minute long clip. I'll post this during probably one of the breaks to our Facebook or Twitter. You can check it out when you get a chance. But it's a narrated thing where there's a news guy talking about, oh, there's all this stuff happening. Good thing no one got hurt.
And faces are blurred.
Yeah. And I wonder if the news people added the blurs or if that came from the source. Did the source blur the footage, or did the source actually release unblurred footage? Because in this, as you say, the faces are blurred. They're protecting the undercover officers in this case.
Right, and it looked as though they were blurring all of the faces.
Yes.
And you know, there might have been somebody that was not undercover, because I did notice, you know, a vest that clearly said police on it.
Yeah, that
they
would have been
generally don't put those on people that are undercover.
No, that would have been the shock team or whatever, the SWAT team that would come in after the bust was supposed to begin, right?
Right.
You know,
but
the undercovers,
you know,
go in.
It appeared that you couldn't actually make out any of the faces.
Correct.
It
was probably easier to just blur everybody than to try to put individual blurs on the specific
faces. Oh, you
got to
blur this guy and this guy, but not this one or this one.
And sometimes the undercovers that weren't used in the setup. So like they'll send the undercovers in, they'll do the deal, they'll cue with some sort of, you know, audio cue to have the raid start. And that's when the raiding guys with the police on their, you know, on their backs will come in at that point. But sometimes the raiders are also undercover agents. They just weren't used in an
undercover
capacity.
They just weren't
undercover
in that particular scenario. Okay.
So, like, that's what happened with the Weta Claus situation, where Bob Constantine here in New Hampshire back in 2011-ish, somewhere in that range, he was raided by the New Hampshire Drug Task Force for growing cannabis at his Grafton residence. And he was informed on by his neighbor. There was never an undercover buy or anything like that, but yet they had at least two undercover agents who were involved in the raid itself, which is why when he took that case to trial and I went there with other activists to try to record that, we were told we could not record the undercover agents. So they still use those agents even not necessarily.
And then wasn't that the same guy that you noticed at a different thing where you had gone to a court and you're, let's go get some breakfast, and you noticed the guy in the parking lot?
Yes, that's right. His name was Charles Newton, and we outed him publicly because...
Yeah, and he's no longer an undercover cop. He's still a cop.
He's still a state trooper.
He's just not undercover.
Right, he's just a regular old trooper now rather than a man who tells lies for a living, which is, you know, even worse than a typical state trooper. It's the lowest level, I think, as far as like the job of somebody who's in law enforcement. The most, I think, the lowest, the scummiest job they can possibly have is to be an undercover agent, at least in the case of busting drug dealers and things like that,
right?
Because they're arresting peaceful people who have not, you know, done anything. Mostly, usually in most drug dealers' cases, they're just selling to other consenting buyers, and so they're busting peaceful, you know, business people basically, and they have to lie, they have to make up stories about themselves and be, deceptive in order to get in.
So let me ask people this question, and I definitely want to get into the body cam.
Yeah, for sure.
Story.
We'll get into that.
But how many times do they have police go undercover where they're not busting someone for a victimless crime?
It's pretty rare, I would imagine. There's probably some sort of situation where a cop could go undercover for some sort of non-victimless crime, like maybe if they were joining a gang, gang initiations or something like that. Like, in that case, many times gang initiations are stealing or beating somebody or, you know, committing some sort of actual crime with a victim or some sort of property as the victim. So in that case, you could use an undercover agent.
Yeah, just, you know, most of the time that you hear about cops going undercover, it's either for drugs or prostitution.
Yeah, I bet it's 99% or 99.9 or 99.5% of the time probably would be.
But, you know, it's like home invasion. You don't really go undercover and find people.
Right.
Hey, let's go break into that house at the corner of 6th Avenue.
Speaking of home invasions or breaking and enterings and other crimes and cameras, you could check out the Blink home security system, which we've got one operating over at Mark's house. There's one of them here at the studio, and it's super easy to set this thing up. You go to blinkprotect.com/FTL and get your three Blink cams for what some of the other guys charge for one. And it's super easy to set up because all you need is a Wi-Fi device like your tablet or your smartphone. You connect that to the Blink system and then connect your cameras. They're all battery operated, so you don't have to worry about drilling holes, running cables, and confusing DVR setups. It's really super simple. Mark got his set up in like 10 minutes. And if you know Mark, you know that's actually an accomplishment.
He's not technically inclined.
Right. So blinkprotect.com/FTL. It really doesn't get easier than this. Blinkprotect.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. Now, as I say, with this footage, it's not worth playing on the air. It's just a cacophony of noise. You really can't. It's the fight, basically, but it's poor audio on top of that, and you can't make out anything that anyone's saying. But take our word for it. There's definitely a brawl with a bunch of cops on a front porch.
The visual is amazing. I was blown away by two cops literally fist fighting with each other.
Yeah, and more than two cops. I mean, these were there was a big pack.
Oh,
of them,
yeah. Oh, yeah,
the
definitely. It's
inside
after
and
the two cops. After you see those first two cops, it zooms out, and yeah, you see them all just going at each other.
And so the question is, how much footage does WXYZ have from how many different cameras?
Good question.
Because there were two dozen cops that were on this scene,
and it appeared to be at least two or three different angles they had.
Yeah, at least. So, you know, how much of it have they shown? How much do they have? I suspect they've got a lot more than this little clip. And so I wonder, whoever leaked this, did they leak it on any other sources? Has any of it leaked to, like, LiveLeak or YouTube or some other place where we can actually see, you know, start to finish what was released?
Good question. So, and talking about body cameras, I know there have been stories previously saying that, you know, they have some kind of huge impact on citizen complaints against officers and officer use of force. NPR's got a study on that.
All right, we're going to talk more about the impact and the effects of these body cameras on police. That's coming up. You can share your thoughts as well. This is Free Talk Live. Bitcoin.com is your premier source for everything Bitcoin related. Get help buying Bitcoins or choosing a Bitcoin wallet at Bitcoin.com. Read the latest news or even engage with the community on the Bitcoin forum at Bitcoin.com. You can even find places to spend your Bitcoin or play online games with the cryptocurrency. The source for all your Bitcoin needs and news, Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. Is Free Talk Live. You may dial toll free, take control of the airwaves, bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450 free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733, and we've got Skype. So Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. Wow, big day for Bitcoin. Last big couple last days scraping closer and closer to $8,000 per Bitcoin. And I think on a couple of exchanges it actually did surpass $8,000, but on Bitcoin average, I don't believe it quite got there. I think it was within like $50 were.
I'm glad I held my Bitcoin. Yeah. when everybody else was selling here when it went down.
Yeah, that's true. I sold some of it off when it went down as well, and I was spooked by the whole SegWit2x thing, which apparently they tried to do today, the Bitcoin fork that everybody was freaking out about. Yeah. Then it was called off. Then it was called back on by like 6% of the people who had originally said they were going to do it. Originally, they had like 90%.
But it looks like it's not going to happen because I saw something where it said the nodes are doing what they're supposed to and not recognizing, you know, blocks that aren't large blocks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they've, you know, actually recognized a block yet.
They still have to mine the first large block, which they probably haven't done.
And so I did get an email from Coinbase saying that they're back to normal operations.
Okay, that's good to know.
Which basically means, you know, sounds like the SegWit thing isn't actually happening.
It might be
a miner still trying to do it, but it doesn't sound like it's actually happening. And as far as the price, looking at Bitcoin average, in the last 24 hours, Bitcoin got within $3.62 of 8,000.
Oh, so close. All right.
$79.96.38.
Amazing. Record high. Record high, nonetheless. Very exciting times for Bitcoin. You can go to Bitcoin.com. You want to get the latest news about Bitcoin? They've got a whole news site over there at news.bitcoin.com, so be sure to check that out. If you're brand new to Bitcoin, brand new to cryptocurrency, you got to learn about Bitcoin before you learn about anything else. I mean, there's 1,000+ cryptocurrencies out there these days, but Bitcoin was first, and so it behooves you to kind of get the basics. Go to bitcoin.com, check that out. And it's really what's most amazing about Bitcoin, and we can talk more about it later, is that it's still going up in price, even though you really can't even use it for anything anymore except to just sit on it and hope that it goes up in price. Like, I saw a statistic today showing that 57%, more than 57% of the wallets that exist with Bitcoin in them, some amount of Bitcoin, 57% of them have less Bitcoin in them than the average or the median, whatever the average fee is, basically.
Right.
So, like, that means that if the wallet has less than what the fees typically are, the person cannot spend that Bitcoin. It's useless at that point. So
more than half
of the wallets cannot be spent because the fees are so high.
And I wonder, of those wallets, how many of them only have something in them because of this weird change address thing that really started getting implemented a couple years ago?
That could be a big factor.
I actually have a thought on this. So I don't know if you guys know this, but Bob actually sent $3 worth of Bitcoins the other day at the like lowest fee he could.
Okay.
And it took about a week to get through.
A week.
So
and
it did come through.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's without accelerating it or anything.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it is technically sort of usable. It's just a very long delay. It's kind of like writing somebody a check and mailing it to them.
I don't call that usable.
Well,
the check would probably, meaningful sense.
Right. The check would probably clear sooner. I mean, the only thing that would slow it down would be the mailing process.
Maybe.
But
we're so used to instant everything nowadays, though. I understand the perception. I did actually use Bitcoin today on two transactions. One for fixing a car. It was a couple $100s, and then I bought lunch.
In that case,
fine. I understand.
Fee. If you're gonna spend, $1,000 on a car repair bill, $10 fee isn't anything to worry about. But if
you're
talking about
$10 on lunch, a $10 fee is utterly ridiculous,
right,
and nobody in their right mind would do it.
So, unfortunately, the question is, how long can Bitcoin continue to skyrocket when its utility has gone down over time? Meaning it is not as useful today as it was 2 years ago.
Right, but
at
the same time, people would say, well, gold keeps its value, and it's not necessarily as usable. You know, you can't just walk into the local sandwich shop shave off some gold shavings.
I would argue that in that case, gold is a unique thing that has very special properties that are useful in the marketplace, whereas Bitcoin is not unique. It's an open source project, and anybody who wants to can copy Bitcoin. The only thing that Bitcoin has, basically, at this point, is the fact that it's first. It has that first mover aspect. It's been around longest. It has the best name recognition. It has the largest network effect. And all of that is a big factor. factor. You know, when people see the CNBC report about how Bitcoin hitting record highs, you know, the average person doesn't know about the fees.
Right.
They don't know about any of the things that we talk about Bitcoin. They just know that last month they saw that Bitcoin was $5,000 and now it's $7,000 or $8,000 or whatever.
Yeah,
and they're like, I got to get in on
that's
this.
That's like the one thing that Bitcoin has going for it, is that the value keeps going up. And so if you're holding on to it long enough, by the time you go to spend it, the fees don't hurt
you
quite
could
as
justify.
Much.
Right,
you
could try to justify, like, well, my Bitcoin went up by $1,000 in the last month, so what's a $10 fee
right.
at that point? But again, the average person still isn't going to be able to pay a $10 fee if they're going to buy a dollar pack, you know, dollar pack of wrapping papers or whatever at the corner market.
It definitely nudges you to hold and not spend, kind of contradictory.
So anyway, we could talk forever about Bitcoin, but we were talking about police body cameras.
Yeah.
And we'll get back into cryptocurrency maybe a little bit later. But what started this whole conversation was footage that has actually come out, not yet that I've seen on like a YouTube, but maybe it's there. I just haven't had a chance to really dig for it. But one TV station in Detroit released footage from body cams of police fighting with other cops, undercover cops, fighting undercover cops in an undercover drug bust where both sides were inadvertently undercover officers. And it's just one of those ridiculous examples of how insane the war on drugs truly is, that it has, you know, come to literal fisticuffs in the streets of Detroit.
Yeah.
And of course, as Reason Magazine correctly pointed out, all of this needs to stop, meaning that the war on drugs is the problem here. And they did also point out the TV station that, you know, this could have been a deadly thing if one of those cops
had
pulled
been,
a
right?
gun.
In the past?
Well, certainly. I mean, people die during undercover raids gone bad or whatever. Sometimes it's the dealer, sometimes
it's the
cops.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't the report even say that there was a prior incident a number of years ago where two people
that,
died?
That was the,
two cops died.
The audio thing that we didn't play on the air, that was not part of the Reason article.
Right.
Okay.
But still, worth pointing out that, yes, those things do happen when you're in a tight situation like that and you're dealing with however many thousands of dollars or whatever the deal might have been on the page. Some people don't want to just let that go without a fight.
Right.
And, they don't know right then that you're a cop, and they might just pull a gun and blast you if they think that you're, you know, trying to rip them off. So anyway, Daryl, you had a kind of a larger story about the police body cameras themselves.
Yes.
And kind of what's that resulted in. Now we've got a few years under our belts collectively around the U.S. where certain departments have been using these body cameras. They're certainly not ubiquitous by any means. I don't think they have them around here in the Keene, New Hampshire area at all.
Correct.
But I believe the state police have cruiser cams. They've got them in their cars.
Right. But the police in New Hampshire, the best of my recollection, they have never been authorized to wear body cameras. But
right.
there are, you know, certain cars are outfitted with cameras, but the officer is not.
How about audio recorders?
Certain cars are outfitted with
they
camera,
have audio,
but,
too. The camera cars also have audio, if that's
but
what you're
the
asking.
Police don't walk around with little audio recorders, if that's your question.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I've seen that, too, in New Jersey before they were doing – I don't know if they're – they're doing. I don't know if they were doing it at the time or if they're doing it now. But before the body cams were around, they had little. I had a cop a number of years ago pull out an audio recorder. When I asked, "Are you recording?" and he said yes, and I'm like, "Oh, great! Go back and re-listen to what I told him, because he was accusing me of lying and I wasn't."
All right, we're gonna continue here, Daryl. Where's your story from, by the way, about these police cams?
NPR.
NPR is going to look at some of the details on how these cams have been used and the results, and we'll share that with you coming up here in moments. Our number here, 855-450, free like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us here. Our number, 855-450, free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. So far, I've been unsuccessful at finding any of this police body cam footage of the cops raiding the cops in Detroit and getting into a brawl. We've seen different cuts of the footage that have been aired on news channels in the Detroit and other areas, but nothing has just the raw footage from beginning to end, or even just clips of the raw footage without some newsman yammering over top of it about what was said and what was happening. I would rather just hear what was said and see what was happening, but instead they have to keep presenting us with whatever the narrative is. So
right.
We don't yet have that. I hope that somehow whoever's leaked this footage at this point does actually leak the footage properly and put it out there on the internet rather than only sending it to the news stations in this case. But there's definitely...
We kind of are news, so they could send it over to Ian at freetalklive.com.
They certainly could. I would love to see it. Anyway, from what we can see, though, there's definitely quite a brawl that did transpire because some of the clips are like pretty intense. One of them, the camera actually gets knocked off of maybe the person's chest, and it goes to the ground and is basically looking straight up. And you can just see the fracas of these cops like going at it over top of the camera, basically, as it's recording. So definitely still worth looking at. Really just ridiculous situation that only exists because of the war on drugs. As you pointed out, Daryl, if it weren't for the war on drugs and other war on prohibition or prohibitions on consensual acts like prostitution or gambling or whatever, it's very rare that the police would have any reason to have undercover agents infiltrating anywhere
right.
and having to tell lies for a living and engage in deception against the very people that they are supposedly are their bosses, which is the strange thing, right? Like they're your servants, supposedly, right? But yet they're arresting you for doing the thing that you wanted to do.
Well, they're protecting you from
yourself. Yeah.
If you get caught with drugs, it's going to ruin your life, Ian, because then you wind up going to jail and then you can't get a job because every time you fill out a job application, there's that question, have you ever been convicted? And you've got to mark yes, which makes you unemployable. So we have to arrest you because otherwise you become unemployable and then we make you unemployable.
Right. And so they can protect me from myself in those ways. But I can go out and get a fifth of, hard liquor tonight and down it all by myself and die.
No, you can't. You're prohibited from going to the liquor stores.
That's true, but most people aren't.
That's funny.
And they wouldn't know anyway, because I don't think they've got my picture up on, like, every cash register to let every cashier
Not
know.
Every cash right. register.
You're probably the only adult in New Hampshire that is banned from the liquor stores.
No, there's one of at least them. Three.
Yeah,
that's
me,
true.
Derek J. Freeman, and
that's
Jason
true. There were a few other people with you.
Right. Actually, there were more than three, but they couldn't identify the other three, so they never actually prohibited Graham Coulson and the rest of them.
Gotcha.
From it. So the toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. If you're wondering what we're talking about with me being prohibited from the liquor stores, you have to see Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree, which you can watch for free online anytime you want. Just go to victimlesscrimespree.com. All right, so Daryl, you had a story from NPR
yes.
about police body cams in general.
Yes, and there was a study performed specifically in Washington, D.C., where they rolled out according to this article, a huge camera program. And in D.C. specifically, they found that having police wear body cameras seems to have no discernible impact on citizen complaints or officers' use of force.
Really?
The city has one of the largest forces in the country, with some 2,600 officers now wearing cameras on their collars or shirts. Anita Ravishankar, a researcher with the Metropolitan Police Department and a group in the city government called Lab at DC, says, "We found essentially that we could not detect any statistically significant effect of the body-worn cameras."
Huh.
Police Chief Peter Newsom says, "I think we're surprised by the result. I think a lot of people were suggesting that the body-worn cameras would change behavior. There was no indication that the cameras changed behavior at all." He says, "Perhaps that's because his officers were doing the right thing in the first place." And again, this is NPR reporting, and they're reporting what he's saying, where he says, "See, my officers weren't bad because they didn't change their behavior at all."
Well, wait a minute. He should have said the correct thing, not the right thing, because they clearly generally don't do the right thing. They don't do the moral thing. They do what, they pretty much do what they want. But
and what they're told.
Yeah, right.
Which
is often the wrong thing.
Right. The but according thing. To the chief of police, as long as you're doing what you're told, you're doing the right thing.
That's no. their narrative.
The article continues, in the wake of high-profile shootings, many police departments have been rapidly adopting police body-worn cameras, despite a dearth of solid research on how the technology can change policing. David Yocum, director of lab at DC, says we need science rather than our speculation about it to try to answer and understand what impacts the cameras are having. His group worked with local police officials to make sure that the cameras were handed out in a way that let researchers carefully compare officers who were randomly assigned to get cameras with those who were not. The study ran from June 2015 to last December. So from June 2015 to December 2016. Okay. And then they've spent the last, say, 9-10 months compiling all of the data. Michael White, a researcher at Arizona State University who has studied body-worn cameras in Tempe and Spokane, Washington, says this is a very methodologically rigorous study. It was done very well, and that's not a small issue because there have been many studies of body-worn cameras that are not rigorous. It's to be expected that these cameras might have little impact on the behavior of police officers in D.C., he says, because this particular force went through about a decade of federal oversight to help improve the department. He says, quote, they're hiring the right people. They've got good training. They've got good supervision. They've got good accountability mechanisms in place. When you have a department in that kind of state, I don't think you're going to see a large reduction in use of force and complaints because you don't need to. There is no large number of excessive use of force that needs to be eliminated. The big question about cameras right now, he says, is it worth the cost?
Right, because there have been, I recall, a study in the past, and maybe it wasn't the one, you know, wasn't one of the rigorous ones that did find the use of force complaints went down.
Yeah, that was somewhere in California. I don't remember the town, but it was, you know, one specific town in California where they were like the first place. Mm-hmm. And again, that was one of those really, really bad departments,
right,
where there were a lot of complaints to begin with. And this, they were saying, you know, they didn't really have a lot of complaints. So when you don't have a lot, it's kind of hard to reduce from not a lot anyway. But there are some of the people, especially the anti-police accountability people, saying, well, this just proved, the study in that California town from however many years ago, they say, this just proves that people were filing false complaints, not that the cops actually started acting better.
There's always an excuse.
The reason the complaints against cops went down is because people were just making stuff up.
Well, now they can't
make
it up.
And now they can't because there's a camera showing that they were making stuff up.
That could be true.
Behavior didn't change at all.
It could be true, but not always, right? Like, who knows?
Right. It's probably, you know, as they say, six of one, half dozen of another to where, did some people stop making false complaints? Possibly. Did police behavior improve? Also possible. But I just found this very interesting. And again, Michael White continues, besides buying the actual cameras, cash-strapped police departments have to pay to store and manage thousands of hours of video footage.
Right. That's no easy task.
He says, I think a big part of the answer to the question of is it worth it is going to come from what the police department and the community want to accomplish with the rollout of the body-worn surveillance cameras. Mm. What were you going to say, Chris?
Just that's the impact is the entities that probably lobbied for the cameras in the first place were financially rewarded very well.
Taser is one of those companies.
Yeah. Yep. I think the impact is it has had the intended impact.
Right. Not only do you pay Taser for very expensive hardware, but then you also pay ongoing monthly fees, I think it is, for the continued maintenance on the system.
Oh, and then because it's proprietary software, you have to pay us licensing. A monthly fee to be able to use the software to look at the video.
Exactly. So there's more on the way here. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We got censorship that we can talk about as well coming up on Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're launching into the second hour of the program. As always, you're invited here to join us toll free. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype. So Skype on in here at the Skype username, which is lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And Daryl.
So for those of you just tuning in the last hour, you missed a discussion about the cops in Detroit, undercover agents from two different precincts, literally in a brawl in the street out in front of a house, a alleged drug house, which is actually being run by undercover cops, being then raided by undercover cops from two different precincts.
Yes.
So, of course, the cops didn't know one another, and they all thought they were real drug dealers and real drug buyers, and so there was quite a bit of confusion and actual fighting, punches being thrown, pushes, shoves, and all of it caught on police body cameras. We did see a little bit of the footage, which led to a larger discussion about police body cameras.
Yeah, and there's still a little bit more to this article from NPR.
Looking at the question of whether or not the costs of these body cameras, which are very, very high because of ongoing maintenance and, like, basically you have to get under departments typically get under contracts with companies like Taser.
Generally so, yes.
Who are the manufacturers of these body cameras, and they can just rake these departments for all kinds of money. And so the question was, D.C., they looked at the D.C. Cops cams, and there was a very detailed study that was done on them, and they claimed that there really wasn't any reduction in the number of...
No statistically significant effect is the actual wording by the researcher.
An effect on complaints of use of force and an effect on something else.
Complaints against officers and use of force by officers.
Gotcha.
Continuing on, Harlan Yu, who works for an organization called Upturn that studies how technology affects civil rights and social justice, says the results of the study call into question whether police departments should even purchase body cameras. He says this is the most important empirical study on the impact of police worn body cameras to date. If cameras don't decrease the use of force, don't decrease the number of misconduct complaints, and don't change officer behavior, then what are we adopting cameras for? He notes that a lot of recent footage showing police violence has actually come from bystanders, not police worn body cameras.
Okay.
And while cameras have had neutral effects in Washington, D.C., he says the devices might have harmful effects in places with policies that allow officers to review the footage before writing their initial reports about various violations.
Right. So instead of going by memory, they're going by the
cams. It's kind of like how in a lot of times you take a ticket to court and the police officer will sit there, papers in hand. Mm-hmm. Ah, yes, you were driving a white Subaru with license plate blotted up. Officer, can you ask him to not rely on his notes?
Or judge, you mean?
Judge, can you ask the officer not to rely on it? Can you please not rely on your notes unless you really, really have to?
Yeah, you can do that. You can ask them to not rely on their notes. I forget what the legal reason is.
They were allowed to rely on their notes.
In theory, they should not be allowed
to. New Hampshire only?
I don't know. Maybe it is New Hampshire only. I don't know.
No. It's basically incompetent witness. If somebody can't go from memory on something, they're an incompetent witness and should not be allowed to testify against you.
That's interesting because I remember there being cases where they decided otherwise.
Tom's on the line in Baltimore. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tom. A former cop, by the way, for listeners that may not know. Go ahead.
I just wanted to put this to... your candor. We hear a lot about bad cops, and we hear a lot about why the good cops don't do more. I suspect that the leak of the footage probably came from a good cop who wanted to expose the ridiculousness of the failed illegal drug war.
Yeah, I suspect at the very least it did come from one of the police or maybe one of the office staff, but yeah.
I wonder if they leaked it because they wanted to wind up on World Star.
Relative to body cameras, I think the public should know that they probably, in most instances, will hurt the public. A lot of people may not realize that police oftentimes skirt the law to help the public. And I know that sounds anathema to what many people think is going on, but again, we do have good cops. I think I told you before about how I handled DWIs, not getting people involved in the system, having them park their car if they were kids, having their parents come down and pick them up if they were adults, having them park their car, threatening them with arrest if the car was moved within 24 hours. These things help the public. Another thing, for instance...
Well, what you're saying, though, there is you were doing things that weren't necessarily by the book. Rather than arrest somebody, you'd give them some assistance. What you're saying is that if you were on a body cam, you'd have to play more by the book and, like, arrest one of these people. Is that what you're saying?
You would have to, because technically what you would be doing if you didn't go by the book would be setting yourself up for a fall.
Yep.
And of course,
because you, sir, violated policy and you're caught on video having violated policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now we also did this a lot, and any cop will tell you who's been on the street for any period of time when it came to drugs. Those of us who know that the drug war was born of a lie and is illegal for folks who were involved in a victimless possession charge or were caught possessing drugs, we would allow them to simply destroy the drugs, take them out of their pocket or wherever they
right.
were, crush them up,
dump it out,
give them a warning, let them go. Now, we also have archaic laws when it comes to kids. The law says that if a parent disciplines their child, and there's any sign, even a little bit of redness on the cheek, maybe the kid told the parent to F off and the parent smacked them. I'm okay with that. The law is not. The law says I must arrest the parent. I don't believe in that, and most cops, many cops, don't. So I would lecture the child on behaving and commend the parent, and that would be that. Now, with a body cam, I would have to arrest the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would be breaking the law. The same goes for domestic violence. You know, I'll date myself here, but there was a time when you went to a domestic violence call, and you could have one person go to a family member's house, take a walk, talk to them. Now we must arrest. That's the
policy. That's something I wonder if this study looked at. What happened to the crime rates? So in addition to use of force by the officers and complaints against the officers, did the crime rates go up in D.C. from June 2015 through December 2016 when they looked at this stuff? That's something that they don't have here.
Who knows? Very often, many of these policies are born of a monetary issue. It's about making money. It's about remaining, in their eyes, looking good in the public's view. And they're not really based on anything scientific or statistically accurate.
Tom, I want to say thanks for the input here. So it sounds like you are definitely against the body cameras for all the times they might actually identify police behaving badly. You're saying there are a lot of ways you can't measure that they will actually hurt innocent members of the public who otherwise, you know, may have not gotten a ticket without the body cameras from a relatively decent cop.
Not to mention the intrusion on privacy when it comes to sensitive issues. We deal with very sensitive issues that people don't want, and I certainly agree with this. They don't want on camera, that they want divulge it to a police officer. They don't want to be filmed when it comes to something like rape or when it comes to something that
something embarrassing
is private.
For sure.
Yeah.
Tom, thanks for calling and sharing that perspective. I appreciate it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free to join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. Coming up, censorship is alive and well in the EU, and Chris has that story. We'll share that with you. But also, you need to know about Dash. It's digital cash. Right now, a lot of people in the cryptocurrency world are talking about how Bitcoin, while it has been shooting up in its price, it's at new record highs today, almost $8,000 per Bitcoin. Its usefulness has gone down. So you can't actually use, or you can, but you'd be insane to do so, Bitcoin at a small retail level. Like here in Keene, New Hampshire, we're pretty proud of the fact that we've got more than like a dozen, approximately a dozen mom and pop brick and mortar stores, retail locations where you could pay with Bitcoin. And you still can technically pay with Bitcoin. But I can tell you the folks over at Little Zoe's Pizza tell me that nobody's doing that anymore because Bitcoin, the fees are too expensive. To send Bitcoin to somebody, you're looking at probably at least a $5 fee. And I think that the fees were down today to like the $5 range because a bunch of people weren't spending their Bitcoin today due to the SegWit2x controversy that kind of happened. There were some of the exchanges that froze their deposits today.
Right, right.
So there wasn't as much Bitcoin movement today.
And then also some of the point of sale providers were shutting down tools saying, you know, nope. From, you know, this time until we know for certain that there's not going to be this SegWit2x thing coming off, not allowing merchant tools to be operational.
So the fees have been killing the retail use of Bitcoin. So the question is, given that Bitcoin doesn't seem to be coming down anytime soon, like it just seems to keep going up. Everybody's seeing, hey, Bitcoin's going up in price. So like all these people that don't know anything about Bitcoin are getting into Bitcoin. So there's all this money rushing into Bitcoin all the while. You really can't do much more with it than sit on it.
Right.
I mean, Chris, you mentioned that your boyfriend, Bob, he had sent a very small fee on a Bitcoin transaction, and it took approximately 1 week for that to actually go through.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a $3. He sent like $3 worth of Bitcoin. And
just as a test?
Yeah, as a test, and like the most minimal fee they could possibly could that the program would let him send.
Right.
And yeah, and it took a week. It did go through, though, and I think that I don't know if that was the objective to see if it would go through, if that was the objective or not, but right. That's certainly, yeah.
So that is not the way Bitcoin is supposed to work, but that's the way it is working now, if you want to call that working. Personally, I would call Bitcoin broken at this point, but ultimately, it's still a success. From the price perspective, it seems like a good investment. You buy some Bitcoin, you wait, it goes up in value. Now, how long does that happen for? How long until the marketplace actually discovers, oh, well, we could actually have a cryptocurrency that not only could go up in value, but also might be useful, like, you know, pretty much all of the other ones that are out there, because none of them have the fee issues that that Bitcoin has. Now, arguably, none of them have had the success level that Bitcoin has had either. But there's one of them out there that I'm pretty excited about, which is Dash. And it's digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, it can be private and easy, fees are low, and transactions are quick and can be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. and Dash is decentralized. It's run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. So join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today and find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org and find out why. I can tell you this, here in our very own Keene, New Hampshire, which up until recently was the number one most Bitcoin accepting city per capita as far as businesses that accept Bitcoin, we've been challenged now by Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So we've got a real duel going on between Keene and Portsmouth where we're trying to see who can be the number one city. And I think Portsmouth has us edged out at this moment. But one thing that they've done over in Portsmouth is they've been turning on Dash acceptance at local businesses that they've been recruiting in. And so we've started doing that here in Keene as well, now that there's finally a Dash point of sale system available. For years, there was nothing but Bitcoin. As far as what a merchant could use to accept a cryptocurrency, it was only Bitcoin as far as the useful point of sale systems go. Finally, our buddy Derek J. Freeman, former co-host here on Free Talk Live, and his boyfriend Steven Zeiler came up with a competitor to BitPay. And it took some bug fixing and some practice, but we finally got it to the point where it was ready for prime time. And so I've been out there pitching it to local businesses, and I got two local businesses who had previously accepted just Bitcoin. Today, they are now accepting Bitcoin and Dash.
Excellent.
And so I'm very excited about that. So now for Dash, in real life, you can go and you can purchase anything at the Corner News Store, which was the very first Bitcoin accepting business here in Keene, brick and mortar. It's kind of like a little newsstand shop with sodas and cigarettes and newspapers.
It's a little corner store.
Pipes, that kind of thing. Very little, yeah, but it's got a lot of stuff in there. And it's even got a Bitcoin vending machine in there now and a really cool little shop. And there's a place called Dee's Cafe that is like a bar, and they do food as well. So you can go and you can buy your lunch, which you did. Actually, you did Bitcoin today there, Chris.
I did, but it was just before they started taking Dash. I was in there at the same time, yeah. Except that just before you must have helped them get that set up.
Yep, I did.
But I would have spent Dash because I would have saved on the fees if it was available.
Yep, absolutely.
And I did actually have some Dash, so
and
I could
now
have done
you can
it.
Now yeah, the next time yeah. you go in there,
I'm definitely gonna have to use Dash next time.
So yeah, coming up next week, I'm going to be pitching the local pizza place that takes Bitcoin on it. I talked to them today. They said they're all for it. They want to get some stuff taken care of first, and so I'm going to see them next week. So, I mean, it's once they're taking Bitcoin, it's actually pretty easy to get them to start taking Dash, because most of them, they know about the fees because we've been letting them know about some of these things mm-hmm. that have been going
right.
on. And so they know, and they've seen the drop off. They've seen their Bitcoin customers become Cash customers again, because like me, I'm a mm-hmm. Bitcoin fanatic. But I won't pay $5 to $10 to spend on just to buy a soda or something like that. I'm not going to spend $5 on top of it just to buy a soda. But will I spend 3 cents? Yeah. And that's the kind of fees you're talking about when it comes to Dash. And Dash is planning on lowering their fees over time. So their next update through a hard fork that they do, Dash is going to double their block size to make it so they can scale up for the future. And they're going to lower their fees to a third of a cent per transaction, basically. So it's like going to be a flat fee in Dash, not in cents,
nice.
But right now it's equivalent of about 3 cents.
So that's three places. That's three places in Keene, right? Because you didn't mention Hot Hogs.
Hot Hogs, a barbecue place. Yep. So yeah, we have three places plus Route 101 Local Goods, which is where our Thursday night co-host. So actually, four of them are now taking Dash, which is just awesome news.
Excellent. And then what about the Vietnamese food truck that's going to be getting a retail, the brick and mortar spot soon? Hopefully,
that's there's. I don't know how much I should say about that. There's a new partner
probably
involved
nothing.
in the retail business, and the partner is not so sure about cryptocurrency. So there's going to have to be some objections overcome, maybe some meetings had. I'm not sure where that one's going to go. But if we can get that restaurant to come on, that would be amazing.
Right next to City Hall.
Yeah, that would be good.
So anyway, Dash, you got to say, it's the competitor right now as far as retail use of cryptocurrency. There's more coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can dial in toll-free, take control of the airwaves here. Our number is 855-450-FREE-LIKE-FREEDOM. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. Coming up, we're going to get into we're talking about cryptocurrency. We're going to get into the EU and apparently a potential crackdown on freedom of speech. Chris will tell us about that. You can join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You got holiday shopping to get taken care of? Well, you can do that over at shop.freetalklive.com. You enter the different links you'll find there. There's Walmart. There's Amazon Canada, Amazon UK. There's a few others. Go and get your shopping taken care of and Free Talk Live benefits when you enter through shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com. We were talking about cryptocurrencies and how Dash is making a real play to be the key cryptocurrency on the ground in retail establishments. But there's also some really interesting Bitcoin-related news that came out this week. I don't know if you guys covered this last night, Daryl. Stop me if you did. But did you guys talk about how Square is starting to get into crypto again?
We did not.
So Square is this payments company that has like a point-of-sale software that they, a lot of local businesses will run the Square software.
Right, and a lot of websites use it as well.
Yes.
I've noticed it's gotten a lot more popular over the years.
Yeah, they're huge. They're like a multi-billion-dollar company from what I understand. And I remember
it's apparently fairly easy to use as well, and the reason they call it Square is all of the images for your various items are squares.
Makes sense. I'm sure that's not unusual for payment software, but regardless.
No. So not the payment aspect, but the shopping cart.
Uh-huh. The buttons or whatever?
No. So Johnson, who's on Tuesday nights, he just put up a website with T-shirts and whatnot.
Right, which we can't talk about yet.
Right, but some of the pictures are rectangles.
Yeah.
With Square, if Square is your online shopping thing, every image is a square.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if that's that original, but it's something. So Square
sounds like the rounded corners on the iPhone to me.
is a big company as far as payments is concerned. And the funny thing is, I remember years ago, like 2014 maybe, James Cleveland, who was a co-host on Free Talk Live, he used to run a thrift store here in Keene. And he used Square.
Yes.
And he said that they had Bitcoin.
Yeah, they did.
And then they took it away. And they never explained why. Like that they had integrated Bitcoin payments into their point of sale system. And that was a huge deal.
Right.
And then it all of a sudden went away. And there was no explanation whatsoever as to why they pulled it.
And there was something, I forget what it was, but there was something that I wanted to buy online a couple of months ago where the website had Square implemented, and at checkout Bitcoin was one of the options, and I clicked on it, and then it said this merchant has not opted in to accept Bitcoin payment. Then why are you showing it to me as a payment option?
I don't know, man. Maybe they jumped the gun. There was never any explanation for why they pulled it, but now the news is, according to Forbes, Laura Shin, some customers of Square's Cash app have gotten a surprise in the past week. The app, which is used for payments between friends and is a competitor to Venmo, has also given them the option to buy or sell Bitcoin. So all of a sudden, in this payments app that millions of people have, I even have it on my smartphone, in this payments app, poof, a bunch of their users, not all of them, because I don't have the Bitcoin option on mine, so they only gave it to a certain portion of their users.
It's probably like beta testing.
That's what it sounds like, that they've given them the option to purchase or to sell Bitcoin. Now, you can't actually use the app to transfer the Bitcoin to somebody else. It's literally just buying, holding, and selling. That's all you can do with it.
Interesting.
A few rejoiced on Twitter, probably much to the delight of Square's CEO Jack Dorsey, who is also CEO of the social media site. Now, I don't know anything about being CEO of anything, but how the hell can you have time to be a CEO of two different companies? That seems like it would be a pretty big job, but maybe it's not as big of a job as I think that it is.
Depends on how
paid secretaries.
Yeah. Right, and depends on, you know, how hands-on you need to be. Do you have how many, you know, assistant vice presidents and assistants to the vice president,
or
and
just a figurehead.
Assistant regional manager? Right. Is it a figurehead position, or are you actually in charge of the company? Like Bill Gates is a very, from what I understand, he's still a very hands-on sort of person there at Microsoft.
Even though he retired from the position?
I thought he was still like the CEO. No. Or
he's like an emeritus something or other.
He might be the chairman still, but even that I think he retired from.
He's
now.
Retired for a number of years.
Okay, yeah. But when he was the CEO, he was still very hands-on, but like, you know, the CEO of Walmart. How many decisions is that person making versus all of the regional managers?
So, Jack Dorsey, since when, or here's some of the comments on Twitter from users. Since when can you buy Bitcoin through Square Cash, wrote one. OMG, just noticed I can now invest in Bitcoin using my Cash app. I seriously think this is my most useful app ever, tweeted another. A Square spokesperson said in a statement, quote, we're always listening to our customers and we found that they're interested in using the Cash app to buy Bitcoin. We're exploring how Square can make the experience faster and easier and have rolled out this feature to a small number of Cash app customers. We believe cryptocurrency can greatly impact the ability of individuals to participate in the global financial system, and we're excited to learn more here. Now, that's interesting that they were hearing from their customers, they say, about wanting to get Bitcoin, and they've enabled that. Now, for now, the app only allows these users to buy, sell, and hold Bitcoins, but not to make payments to friends with the cryptocurrency, which is the app's primary function with dollars. Now, wait a minute. This, in my opinion, is actually a smart move, because what have we been complaining about with Bitcoin? The fees.
Right.
And the slowness.
Yep.
The fees and the slowness. But you only experience fees and slowness if you try to send Bitcoin to somebody or try to receive it from somebody. So if all you do with Bitcoin is buy and hold the Bitcoin, then you don't have to worry about the fees and the slowness anymore. So for as far as Square's user experience is concerned, they're just letting you invest in a thing, basically, in their app.
But there would still be the fee when you buy the thing.
They would absorb that in the fee of selling you the Bitcoin. So it wouldn't be a noticeable fee in the same way.
You wouldn't be able to buy a small number of Bitcoin and have it worthwhile.
Yeah, I don't know what the minimum purchase would be in this case. But technically, Square wouldn't have to send you Bitcoin to a Bitcoin address, Daryl. They could have the Bitcoin on their system. So one of the bad things is, in this case, you wouldn't control private keys, and Square would control your private keys.
Yep,
but
yep.
The good side of that is when Square sells you $10 worth of Bitcoin, they don't have to send you the $10 worth of Bitcoin. They just have it in their system, and they have it marked as
it's
yours.
It's a ledger.
Right. They have their own internal
ledger.
Makes
you wonder if they're really selling you Bitcoin if you don't have access to Bitcoin, though.
Well, right, and that's the problem when you let companies like Square or Coinbase hold your private keys for you and hold your Bitcoin for you, is you don't have control over it. So when things happen like the Bitcoin Cash fork or the Bitcoin Gold fork, you know, where Bitcoin splits into two competing currencies, you're completely at their mercy as to whether or not they decide to let you have access to that Bitcoin. Or if they want to shut down your account, then, again, you're at their mercy as to whether or not they want to give you access to the Bitcoin. But either way, this is still, for a newbie, for somebody that doesn't know anything about Bitcoin but wants to try it, this is a way that they can do it, and they don't have to experience all the negative sides of Bitcoin, which we have to experience because we have our private keys, and we value the idea of having private keys. The person in the Square app, they don't know what a private key is. They probably barely know what Bitcoin is, but now they know they can get this thing that they've been hearing people talk about on, you know, online or on television, and there it is. It's right there in their app. And the thing with the Square Cash app, and I don't have any stock in Square, but I have used this app to send money to people that I know. The voice guy, actually, from LRN.FM, Zeus, he started asking me to pay him with Square Cash like a year ago instead of using PayPal to do voice work for us. And that's really? That's how I got the Square Cash app. All you do is you put in your debit card information from your bank account into this thing, and it makes it so you can send payments to people and they can cash them into their bank accounts instantly for a 1% fee. Or they can wait a couple days and then it's free. It's pretty cool. It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free to bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and of course you're invited to Skype into the show at Skype username LRN.FM. We've been talking a lot about cryptocurrency. I should mention that we can still accept your Bitcoin contributions, although I can tell you, I bet those have slowed down. I haven't pulled up the list of them in a while, but given the transaction fees, I suspect people aren't sending us $5 or $10 Bitcoin contributions. But if for some reason you still want to do that, you can go to bitcoin.freetalklive.com and you can find our Bitcoin donation address there.
Do you have other donation addresses? Like a Dash or Zencash?
I know I had Dash up there at one point. I think that what I have is like a shapeshift.io thing.
Okay.
So you can like contribute multiple different cryptocurrencies. And yeah, there is a Dash address there. I should probably see where that thing goes to these days.
You don't have the wallet anywhere. That-
Sometimes it gets a little obscure looking at the wallet address. It's like, I don't remember the one that ends in 650B, but it's hard to remember these things. Which is one of the problems with cryptocurrency is at a glance, you don't really know which wallet you're looking at unless you know you have memorized some amount of it. But anyway, bitcoin.freetalklive.com. And then below that, there's the altcoin tip jar where you can pay with altcoins of whatever flavor that shapeshift.io will make work for you. So anyway, we were talking about the Square Cash. It is an app that the Square Payments Company has on, I believe, you know, all major phones, Android, iOS, that I started using probably about a year ago to send payments for our voice guy, Zeus, who does, he's like the deep voice guy that does LRN.FM promos. If you listen to LRN.FM, you've heard his voice. Anyway, he asked me to start paying with the Square Cash app for whatever reason. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, I jumped through the hoops. And it's an app that allows you to add a debit card for your bank onto the app. And then once you do that, you use your bank account balance to then send a payment to somebody. So if I needed to pay you for something, you know, let's say you did fixed a computer for me, Chris, and you wanted, you were willing to accept dollars for payment, I could send you those dollars through this Square Cash app if you also had the app.
Yeah, I don't.
And then you would be able to take those dollars and deposit them directly into your bank account instantly. And they charge a 1% fee for that. Because normally when you deposit something through ACH, it's like a 3-day business, you know, 3 business day or 2 or 3 business days that it takes. And so you can still do it that way, and it's free to receive payments that way, but you just have to be patient and wait for a couple days. But for people who are in a rush, if you're in a hurry, you pay that 1% and then you get it instantly. So it's like a pretty useful app. But now, according to Forbes, they have added for some amount of their users. They haven't rolled it out all over the place. So, for instance, I don't have it yet, but for some amount of their users, they have rolled out the option to purchase Bitcoin. And as Forbes points out here, Bitcoin is the original cryptocurrency and has soared in value this year to 7 times what it was worth on January 1st of this year. It also has the highest market capitalization, over $100 billion, out of the thousands of other crypto assets that exist today. And its value could be poised to increase further as Bitcoin futures launch soon, bringing more institutional money into the market. Though, as any seasoned Bitcoiner would tell you, the market is highly unpredictable. In recent months, CEO Jack Dorsey has not been shy about his admiration for blockchain technology, calling it the next big unlock in an interview with The Verge's Lauren Good. In that same discussion, he perhaps gave a hint as to why Square Cash is testing this out. He recounted going home to St. Louis over the holidays and being asked by multiple people how to buy Bitcoin. He says, quote, I said, why do you want to buy Bitcoin? And they said, I heard it was a fast, easy way to make money. So I said, you want it to treat it like an investment? And they said, yes. Someone said it's like digital gold. It was just amazing how mainstream the brand is, he said. He also noted that a digital currency could be especially appealing to a younger generation, one that overlaps nicely with those that also pay friends with smartphone apps, and recounted someone telling him, quote, gold is a stupid rock, unquote. In the interview, he may have even expressed openness to the potential for Bitcoin to be just another tool that Square offers its merchants. When asked if he followed Bitcoin, he said, quote, one of the principles at Square was we're going to help the seller make the sale. That means whatever form of payment comes across the counter, be it physical or digital, we're going to enable them to accept. Unquote. While competitor Venmo has strong brand recognition in late October, the New York Times reported, quote, in recent months, though, Square Cash has quietly bypassed Venmo to become the most frequently downloaded financial app of any kind on both Apple and Android phones, according to Apptopia, unquote. So you've got the number one payments app in the world, apparently, that has now added Bitcoin on a test basis for some amount of their users. As you said, it's probably a beta test, Chris, which means they're ironing out whatever bugs might be there. So perhaps a full rollout will be coming in the near future.
Speaking of irons, when's Bitcoin iron going to become a thing?
Oh, no. Don't give them any ideas, Daryl. I mean, we already have enough Bitcoins out there. So there's already somebody talking about Bitcoin silver coming out in December and then Bitcoin plus, or wait, no, Bitcoin core, no. Bitcoin Cash Plus.
And then Super Bitcoin.
Is that another one for real?
I read something about that, or I dreamed that I read about that.
It sounds like it could
be real. Hope it was a dream that I read about it. But
sounds like
no,
a nightmare
to me. I think it was supposed to be a thing.
All these Bitcoins are, I think, a little confusing in the marketplace. Let's go to Ricky. He is in Pennsylvania on Skype. Go ahead, Ricky.
To the amplifiers. I have been delayed with my photos. The reasons why, I just bought a new gun because I want to look my best for those photos. $650. Obviously, also, I am a deputy of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania because impersonating a law enforcement officer would be a crime. Now, if I may continue, Brother Ian.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the other week, I had a request by Sister Heather that I promised to follow up on, and also from Brother Chris, the other co-host, the following Thursday. That was last night. I was not able to fulfill that request.
What request?
The request from Sister Heather is she wanted to know more, and I promised her I would follow up the following week about my relationship with the young lady that first started that I was supervising when I received my honors. I was not able to fulfill that the following week.
Right. You weren't able to fulfill that request last night because you started talking horribly about Stefan, who is another caller to the show.
No, wait a minute. What do you got
against
Stefan?
And then you said that you had a question for him, and I said, well, he's not here to answer the question, and ended the call.
Well, wait. What do you got against Stefan? I wasn't here for this, so what's the issue here? He's another caller. He calls on Skype. He's from Ohio. Is it some sort of Pennsylvania-Ohio, you know, rivalry?
No, it is not a Pennsylvania-Ohio rivalry, but I listened to his call that night running for governor.
Oh, he's still running for governor?
Yes.
Yeah, and there are reasons why he obviously was overlooked and all of that, but I do not want to spend the Stefan show. There was over 20 minutes last night of it. This is more important.
Well, can you bring me up to speed, Daryl? He was overlooked. He didn't get the nomination, or what happened?
He was explaining that when he contacted the Libertarian Party of Ohio to find out about wanting to challenge for their nomination, one of the political directors said, no, we've got somebody in mind. His last name is Taft, and you really shouldn't be running. So he was being discouraged from even challenging for the nomination.
Wow, okay. But he still could if he wanted to.
In theory, maybe. He was explaining the process, and it sounds rather difficult. He's got to go collect a lot of petitions, but he also needs to find a running mate before he can get the petitions or something. It's very confusing. And again, you know, he was reaching out to LP Ohio to try to get some help. And they were basically saying, yeah, no, go away.
They didn't want to deal with him, what, because he's young, do you think?
His last name isn't Taft.
Oh, that's a thing in Ohio, right?
Right, because there was the former President Taft from Ohio. There have been several governors in Ohio named Taft.
Now, Ricky, what was your...
So it's kind of like Sununu here in New Hampshire.
Right. These political names. Ricky, what was your question for him that he couldn't answer because he wasn't there? Because I understand he's listening to you right now. So what was your question?
That was the whole point. This is the whole reason why I was dropped last night. And I have more to say.
Well, I'm not going to drop you because it's my understanding you had a question for him, but he wasn't here to answer it. So we can actually bring him on. So what was the question you wanted to ask?
The question was... his stance on gun control, and also on top of that, his view on the Southern Cross.
Okay, stand by, Ricky. We're going to bring you back here. as a libertarian on guns, I think that's a pretty predictable answer, but we'll see what he has to say.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Launching into the third hour of the program. As always, you can join us on the radio waves. Our number here is 855-450, free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. Potential crackdown on freedom of speech coming to the EU. Chris is going to be telling us about that as we continue here. We got Ricky still on the line with us here. Ricky, you have called in from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Yes. And apparently last night you had called out or you'd asked a question of Stefan, who's one of our regular callers from Ohio. He's a libertarian, a young libertarian male. He has described himself as autistic, but I got to say he's very good on the radio. Like, he's good at talking. I think there's different levels, I guess, of autism. And as I understand it, the more severe levels you don't really – I guess can't really communicate at all.
That there are some people that can't verbally communicate,
right? He's always been a very good communicator, and I think it would be interesting to see him run for governor, especially at such a young age. But Ricky, you'd called to ask him a question about, I guess you said, what was it? The gun rights.
If I may, Brother Ian.
Yeah.
The question last week, and that was last week, and I was not able to make that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was last night.
Hold on.
He wanted to say something to Heather and Chris allegedly last night, but he didn't say it when he called in.
Okay.
He started talking horribly about Stefan, and then I dropped his call.
Gotcha.
That being said, if I may, as a result, I already made my declaration of my grievance. That being said, Brother Ian, as opposed to tonight, I challenge Stefan to the duel, the same as Brother Ralph, same rules as last week. You pick the timing, as last time with Ralph, you pick the timing of it next week. In turn, the same as before, and Daryl.
How about right now?
Yeah, why not right now? What is this duel? What are the rules that that you're looking for here?
Okay, the rules the same as before with Ralph. The topic has already been stated. In turn, you remember the rules, Brother Daryl.
No, but our listeners don't know.
Not really.
And number one, I don't remember them, and I was here.
Okay,
and number two, our listeners don't know because they probably weren't.
I will tell you. Okay? In fact, Stefan, he can go first. And we will do it the same as a regulation debate, muting one or the other in turn. You pick the timing. Say, for example, 30 seconds.
All right, 30 seconds.
What are you debating?
He already said gun control and the Southern Cross.
So you want me to state my opinions on gun control and the Southern Cross?
Yeah, I guess.
If you refuse the duel, you have no honor.
What duel? Okay, fine.
Duel, as in the duel.
Ten
that we
paces, lost. Turn and fire.
Burr.
Okay, so we're doing a duel. Ten paces. Okay. I personally am.
Stefan's got a gun.
So does Ricky. No, I'm 100%.
Yes. Well, good luck. I have a Uberti 1873.
Okay. Can I please single go action. Ahead here?
All right, Ricky, you said you wanted to give him 30 seconds to tell us about gun control, so go ahead.
I've got a clock pulled up.
30 seconds, 1 minute 30. Say,
okay, No, that's way too long to let you go on and on. Go ahead, Stefan.
Okay. I have an opinion that there should be absolutely zero restrictions on guns. However, I'm against, you know, the redneck Southern culture of, oh my gosh, I need a gun to fight the revolution. And on the Southern Cross, I think if you're flying the flag of any sort of nation and, you know, jerking off to it, that you've got a major problem. Okay, there you go. 30 seconds.
You've got five more seconds.
All right, Ricky, he just turned in lower than 30, so can you keep it lower than 30?
Beat the clock challenge.
Ricky?
Go.
Go.
First round of three.
Nah.
Everyone deserves to protect themselves. I am for all rights to carry firearms, no background checks, no carry permits, no regulations for all my brothers and sisters across the United States of America, including New Hampshire, Ohio, and the people of the South who cherish the Southern Cross.
Wow, he actually did it.
Yeah.
In 30 seconds. Chris, do you want to pick the winner here of the debate?
Wait a minute. That's three rounds.
I didn't say you'd have three rounds.
Oh, boy.
But maybe he's got one of those 30-round bump clip magazine shoulder bump things.
I think Stefan won.
Stefan wins. Thanks,
Stefan
Ricky.
Stefan won, yeah.
All right.
He just kept it nice and short and brief and got to the point.
We're keeping Stefan on. Or actually, I tried to keep Stefan on. I thought I just hung up on Ricky there. I can't say I'm an expert at running the multi-call things here. So we got Stefan back.
Skype makes that difficult.
Yeah, we got Stefan back here. Stefan, you want to take your victory lap? Go ahead.
Okay. I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray. No, I'm actually just going to make one comment on the process of running for governor. I was speaking about that last night before you had jumped in, Ian.
Yeah, Daryl said that the party in Ohio had tried to like shun you or stop you from running for governor. What happened there?
One of the individuals I had called, she's a political director for the party, had tried to discourage me from running several times over. And I got emails for weeks saying, oh, no, you should consider some other position. You should run for representative. You should run for state senate. You know, you need to make sure that you can get us 3% of the vote so that we can get on the ballot again. And she thinks this Taft guy, who I know almost nothing about, is going to be able to get at least 3% of the vote.
Well, his last name's Taft, and people might vote for him because they think he's related to another Taft. And
it's a reasonable
mistakenly
opinion.
We get 3% of the vote.
Voters are that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
going what's close to home, yeah, but another reason I had contacted them afterwards is, okay, I need a running mate to be able to file this form, because this form is absolute garbage. You have to have a running mate. You have to have another form stapled to it with 500 signatures.
So you guys have like a vice governor there or something?
Lieutenant governor.
Yes.
Vice governor.
Have to have the lieutenant before you can even file. They will not accept anything that does not have a lieutenant governor. And if you mess up the form, that counts as election falsification.
Now,
and
hold on.
A felony.
You would file with the state, so there's like a primary that they would have for you, or do you file with the party?
You file with the to declare your candidacy, you have to send the form to the Secretary of State.
But if there's another Libertarian who also declares candidacy, does that mean the state's going to run a primary for the Libertarians in Ohio?
Depending on whether or not the state party is recognized. At the moment, ever since in 2014, when the Ohio State Congress decided to derecognize our party with a bill, we do not have ballot access. And if we get the
The party has to collect signatures, and then candidates also have to collect signatures.
So yes, minor party candidates to even be recognized as a candidate have to get 500.
Does that mean that you could run in theory against another Libertarian, and both Libertarians, if they got enough signatures, would also be on the ballot?
the party still has to select us. It's just that at the moment, it's unclear as to whether or not we are going to have a primary or if we're going to run a convention, because we can only have a primary if we're recognized. And right. Here's the thing.
You're not going to be.
At the moment, you can't even register as a libertarian in Ohio, because the only way you can register to a party is to ask for that party's ballot during a primary.
Which you can't have.
Right. Yeah. So the way the fight, and I'll try to explain a little bit using how New Hampshire does, but their deadlines are different. Mm. So here, where the political parties file, you know, if the libertarians were doing that party petition, which we don't have to next year because
we're ballot qualified,
do have ballot qualified
for the first time in 20 years.
But if they were doing that, you know, very difficult thing, if the petitions for that were due at the same time or before candidate filing, then they would say, you're qualified, so now you have a primary. Uh-huh. But because those petitions are due several weeks before the primary, no, you don't get a primary because, you know, the filings don't line up. Mm. Ohio, you've got to file the papers about the same time the Republicans and Democrats file their papers, and then they determine whether you get a primary or you nominate by convention.
So you could file your papers, but you would be an independent, basically, on the ballot.
No, then it would go to a convention for the state party.
I see.
So he has to file something with the state saying, I want to get the libertarian nomination, and then the state decides whether it's convention or primary.
That is convoluted. There's more coming up here. Thanks, Stefan, for the call tonight. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Of course, you can join us on the radio waves here. Take control of those airwaves toll-free at 855-450, free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. As the price of Bitcoin is tumbling down to as low as $7,500 now.
Oh, that's not so bad.
No, it's not so bad. But you know, it was as high as 8,000 almost today. Anyway, you can go to freetalklive.com. You can get interactive there. There's a lot of cool stuff on our website. And unlike a lot of those talk shows out there, Free Talk Live site is completely free. So head on over to freetalklive.com. Get interactive. You can download archives of the show that go back for more than a decade, all completely free. Every feature you'll find on the site, it's all free. So head on over to freetalklive.com and enjoy. With you in the studio, you've got Ian.
And Chris.
And Daryl.
So whatever you want to talk about goes here on Free Talk Live. But Chris, you had a story that you wanted to share with us tonight coming out of the EU.
Yeah.
Regarding censorship.
Sort of. So it's a censorship filter, I would say. Basically, there is a EU consumer protection law that contains a very vague website blocking clause. Now, the EU already has, well, I shouldn't say the EU, but the different member states, if that's the right way to phrase it,
sure.
Have basically different laws in regards to certain censorship filters that have been implemented over the years. A lot of them were implemented in the late 90s, and most of them in Europe, I believe, have been implemented by law. There are also censorship filters in some other countries.
And wasn't France the country where Google lost the case to where there's now a you can delete yourself option, where if you don't like search results, you can actually go to Google and say, I don't like this search result, and then they have to pull it or something?
I don't remember. I don't remember the details.
There was the right to be forgotten.
That was an EU ruling, though, wasn't it? It wasn't a specific country.
I don't remember the specific. I know there was an EU thing, but I think it went to court because of something in Germany, maybe.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember the details.
There's some crazy. What you're saying is this isn't the first crackdown on free speech online.
No, certainly not. Canada, what's interesting about Canada was they actually threatened to pass a similar law in the 90s. And
right, where there's, hate speech is criminalized in Canada, right?
Yeah, that too. But in Canada, it's interesting because they're a little bit different. They've actually got a voluntary, and I put that in quotes there, implementation of basically a censorship filter where all the major ISPs have basically implemented it on threat of government
And what are they censoring in Canada? Do you know what types of sites? Is it like torrent websites or?
That's a good question. I don't entirely know if they're what they're censoring in Canada.
If you're in Canada and you're listening, you want to let us know. If you know more, you can call in. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE like freedom. We've also got Skype. You can Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm.
I know in the 90s it started off with child porn, but it never ends there. So if you look at some of the other countries that have implemented similar, you know, based on the similar reasoning, they've gone and extended it to pornography in general in the UK.
Australia is one of the countries with a porn filter as well. They years ago started up a filter that ostensibly was to block child pornography, but then they started to add other things to it.
Yeah, political sites.
I wouldn't be surprised to find that out, but also they decided to just go ahead and block all small-breasted women porn as well, since they, you know, the claim was...
Oh, right, because, well, that might be an underage woman.
Right.
So, because she doesn't have C-cup or larger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of stuff, and now they're going and implementing what they've also been doing in the UK and various other countries is adding... so-called piracy websites to these
torrent
censorship
sites.
Torrent sites, anything that, you know, any kind of linking site, that kind of thing,
right? Even though the torrent sites don't actually have pirated content on them, they have torrents, which are sort of a set of instructions that could allow somebody in theory to download so-called pirated content to their computer, and that's enough for the government. Even though it's just a set of instructions, they've gone after those sites with quite gusto.
One of the things they're using now is they're calling it a communication of, I think what it's called exactly. It's like communication of infringement or something. It's weird. It's like it's not actually infringement, but it's it's a communication to the public of infringement.
Right. It's the equivalent of making bomb making instructions illegal. The equivalent of how to make drugs illegal. This is information that in the United States has historically been protected freedom of speech. You know, the old anarchist cookbook, which used to be passed around back in the day.
There's been some bad rulings in regards to some of that as well in the United States.
What was his name? Burnett, the reporter who got he got thrown in prison because
Barrett Brown.
That's what it was. Barrett Brown got thrown in prison for linking to something in a chat room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The United States
in
has
the US.
Yeah. The United States certainly has had some censorship too over the years. There's been, I don't know if people remember, in I think it was the late 1990s, a case with 2600 magazine where they were publishing source code for basically cracking DVD encryption, and they were forced to remove that.
Wow.
And then they were like, okay, well, we can't hold it on our website, so we'll link to other people who have it. And so they did that, and then they were threatened, and they had to remove that. They were ordered to remove that, and then instead of doing links, they did the text of a link. So instead of being able to click it, you'd have to copy it into
and paste it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they lost that in the end, and they did not. They do not continue to appeal it.
There's another interesting related case that's going through the court system right now, which is Defense Distributed. The company that Cody Wilson runs in Austin, which I had the privilege of touring their facility when I was down there for the Texas Bitcoin Conference. And they're suing the federal government because the federal government, and I forget which bureaucracy it was, but basically they came in and said, oh, you guys have plans on how to 3D print a gun? Well, you're going to have to take those offline, even though it's just speech. It's just a set of instructions as to how a 3D printer.
Probably the ATF.
It was some obscure sounding, it was like international agency something or other. We can look it up and find it. But basically their argument was that this isn't free speech because people who use this free speech, who follow the instructions, who print out a 3D printed gun, could do that anywhere in the world, and you are essentially exporting arms to the rest of the world. You're exporting guns to other countries, and so therefore we can restrict that freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd. They did the same thing with encryption in the 90s. It was illegal to export encryption over a certain strength, basically, or grade. And we have censorship. One of the things the United States doesn't have, though, interestingly at this point, there was an interesting ruling here recently, actually, on censorship in the United States and site blocking.
Pull it up. Was U.S. Department of State saying that they violated the International Traffic in Arms Regulations.
That's what it was. ITAR, International Traffic in Arms Regulations. All right, hold on. You've got more on censorship here in moments. Your calls and thoughts are also welcome. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And this is Free Talk Live. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm. Hey, it's Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us on the radio here. Take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE, where we really only have to censor you if you say a few different words. For the most part, you know, most ideas are open to being discussed here on Free Talk Live. But that's not true in every area of the world. We're talking about some disturbing censorship news out of the European Union. Chris is going to continue with that here in moments, but also I do want to invite you over to freetalklive.com and remind you about all the cool stuff that we've got there, including our forum, where listeners are getting interactive with each other and hosts of the show. In fact, all three of the hosts on the show tonight have forum accounts at forum.freetalklive.com. It's actually a sub-forum in the larger Shire Forum, which is focused on cryptocurrency and New Hampshire libertarian activism and also media like Free Talk Live. So head on over there to forum.freetalklive.com. You can get registered. It's free to register. And by the way, the Bitcoin Cash giveaway that we started doing, I guess it was a week ago. We had Roger Veer on the show with us 1 week ago on Friday night. And I think it was Friday night.
Yeah. Sounds right.
And he offered free Bitcoin Cash, $1 worth, to anybody who posted to the appropriate thread on the Free Talk Live forum. And I said I was going to double that. So $2 worth total of Bitcoin Cash will go to you if you post on that thread. And last I looked, there were about 80-something posts there, so there may be still a chance for you to get in there if you've been dragging your feet and you've been, you know, procrastinating on this and you want to get your free Bitcoin Cash. You can still do it because Roger said he would do up to 100. So the first 100 people to post their Bitcoin Cash address to the thread in question, which you'll see, it's obvious when you go to forum.freetalklive.com. It's like the most popular thread there on that forum. You just post your Bitcoin Cash address, and then when I get around to it sometime this weekend, because I did it late last weekend, I'll probably do it sometime this weekend, I'll catch up with everybody that hasn't gotten their Bitcoin Cash yet and just do it all in one big batch. So as soon as we hit 100, we're done with the giveaway. So you do still have a chance to get in there. Go to forum.freetalklive.com. So we can go to your phone calls and thoughts. We can talk more about censorship here in moments. But first, Cody is calling from Texas. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Cody.
Hey, that'd be the Republic of Texas, Brother Ian.
Hey, Cody, what's on your mind tonight?
So check it out. I'm a weekly podcast listener,
all right.
Self-employed. So I listen to you guys every day while I'm at work. I work by myself.
Right.
So like Mark says on one of his commercials or whatever, that you guys are really in my head. I love the show. Love what you do. Thursday night, it's been like a slow motion train wreck for me though lately.
Really?
Last night, today, my head nearly exploded when I heard Heather say that my rights come from government.
I heard about that. Daryl told me about this after the show last night. I didn't hear it happen live though.
Yeah, well, and she made the comment, too, that anarchists who complain about government do so because they are at the bottom of a hierarchy. And I just wanted to let her know that as an anarchist, what I consider myself an anarchist, I was also a sergeant in the Marine Corps, so I moved up that hierarchy, you know, pretty easily. But my biggest aversion to government is the fact that they explode children to death with missiles in places that she probably couldn't find on a map. And it's not because I want to be on my city council that I have a problem with government. And my rights don't come from government. They come from my creator. And it just nearly, I almost fell into the pool that I was cleaning when she said it. It seems like almost for the last month she has been an apologist almost. I think she'd find a better job at Conservative Talk Live versus Free Talk Live. I kind of feel like once you understand... Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to interrupt you, but I've heard some of these discussions, having been sitting in the studio in the corner desk here, listening to them happening live. I've heard her taking some very anti-freedom positions, some shockingly anti-freedom positions from somebody who calls themselves a libertarian. I can understand why that's frustrating to people who feel like every host on the show needs to be a libertarian, but there is no rule that every host here needs to be a libertarian. And in fact, I would say that, if anything, Heather is making for a useful foil, meaning that her positions can be, I think, pretty easily just trashed by Daryl and Chris, who are very, very, you know, intelligent libertarian types who can easily handle what are some of the most basic objections that she's throwing out. Now, we've talked about on and off the air as to whether or not Heather is really, does she really believe the things that she's saying? And I think the consensus is that she does, that she isn't just playing a character, that she actually does believe the things. What do you think, Daryl? You're there every Thursday night.
I tend to think that she does believe the things says.
I'm almost positive, because before she was even a host on Free Talk Live, some of the conversations I had with her were just mind-bogglingly not libertarian.
Well, and I mean, we really shouldn't be surprised. She came into the party because of Gary Johnson, right? Like, it was, she was a Gary Johnson.
That explains a lot.
Libertarian, and he was the, for listeners that don't know, he's the former Republican who ran for president for the Libertarian Party and got the nomination in 2012 and 2016, sadly. And it was, you know, we've always argued, or some of us have always argued, that having somebody out front like that, having that be your standard bearer, your torch bearer, who does not understand liberty, who said, I believe during one of the debates that you had with him, Daryl, that he just, that the non-aggression principle went over his head. And
The question was specifically about...
That blew my mind.
Specifically about how the United States Constitution aligns with the non-aggression principle. And he said that that question went over his head, and when he thinks about things like that, his eyes glaze over.
Right.
Well, sort of in that same vein, yeah. I would say that Heather is a torchbearer for Free Talk Live, and to have her come up and say stuff like that just...
How is she a torchbearer for Free Talk Live, exactly? She's just a co-host.
She's the host there. Yeah, well, she's a co-host, and she's supposed to be advancing the ideas of liberty and the philosophy of freedom, and she's saying my rights come from government, and I was just... surprised me to hear that on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that, but we've never had a rule that every host on this show has to be a completely principled libertarian. In fact, frequently Mark will take some not so principled positions on these airwaves. Should we kick him off?
Oh, I'm not saying kick her off.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying that I was really surprised to hear that from your show after all this time of listening.
But you shouldn't have been surprised, because you've heard it several weeks in a row at this point. You should be pretty expectant.
Yeah, no, it just seems to be, like I said, she's totally off the rails last night. It's been kind of a slow motion deal. Yeah, I mean, she's great. I love her on Thursday night, but...
Person is a torchbearer for Free Talk Live. I mean, everybody has their own opinions, and not everybody's opinions are exactly the same, even though many of the hosts do understand the non-aggression principle and do have no problem advocating for it. Not every host is at the same level. And I may personally be disappointed that Heather doesn't really get it when it comes to libertarianism, but yet claims to be a libertarian, that always bothers me. And it's bothered me when Mark has said unlibertarian things or has gotten on the air and claimed that, you don't have to agree with the non-aggression principle in order to be a libertarian. And I'm sorry, but To me, you do.
Marcus said that?
Marcus said that. He said that within the last week.
Really?
He's constantly arguing for the big tent viewpoint of, and you know, what I pointed out is fine, have a big tent for your party, but don't, you know, welcome people in as they're learning more, hopefully, about liberty, but don't run those people for office.
Mark, an elected Republican.
Yeah, that's right.
Is advocating what the Libertarian Party should do as far as their internal governance and candidate nominations.
Right, but I'd rather have those discussions on the air about principle and the non-aggression principle and all of these issues rather than kick people off.
This is why
I know you're not saying that. Go ahead.
This is why I always have to call myself a principled libertarian to distinguish myself from the Gary Johnson, you know, people and some of these others. They're
bake
clearly
the cake,
not.
Ban the burka.
So like I say, Heather, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is useful for as a foil. She's like a statist caller. She's just one that we have in our studio with us. And so, you know,
okay, I'll keep
so
that.
So just call in and talk to her. You know, call next week. Rather than calling the next day to talk to us about it, call in on Thursday night and have it out with her. You know? That's what I would invite you to do.
I will.
That's my challenge to you. Cody, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Bye-bye. There's more on the way here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. I mean, we had Thomas Parisi on here. He described himself as a socialist. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. Even in these remaining moments, we might have enough time for you if you dial in right now. Our number is 855-450, free like freedom, 855-450-3733. Hey, if you care about privacy and you're looking for a new computer, then you really ought to check out thinkpenguin.com. You guys are into privacy more than anybody I've ever known. Like, you care more. And privacy is important to a lot of the people in our audience. So if you don't yet know about thinkpenguin.com, you really ought to go and check it out. Linux-based computers, because nothing else is really private. Linux-based computers where you guys are, like, auditing all kinds of details, all the way even down to, like, the system code, basically, that runs
lower level components we're working to free certain low level totally engineering not what most of what we sell in terms of, well, to some degree or another we do, but as far as we have new stuff that we're working on, it's being engineered from the ground up that's totally blows the water off everything.
You guys are doing some cool stuff, and you've even got neat stuff like a VPN based router that people can go and hook up with.
Yeah.
So, again, ultimate privacy stuff. You want to go and check out thinkpenguin.com. Chris is the proprietor over there. As we continue with your calls and thoughts, let's talk to Genesis in Bullhead City, listening to K-Talks in Arizona. Hello, Genesis.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, this thing with the censorship on the Internet, of course. Yeah. You know, the United States gave up control of the Internet to Germany, right?
No.
Who'd they give it up to?
Are you talking about when ICANN was no longer under the control of the United States?
No, there's some deal they gave up the control of the Internet, what can be posted on there, basically what could be, you know, they're controlling it through the Nazis are controlling it. Now, they gave it to Germany.
Oh, I don't
I'm sure
think
they did.
The Nazis were involved.
Oh, yeah, they're involved. They're still around. They're right here in America. That's what's trying to take over America is the Nazis that ganged up with the Muslims. They're all together ganged up. Look at Germany. Look at England. Laugh if you want, but it's
true.
Are you
for real?
What? Oh, God, yeah. That's why the government's so crazy.
Nah, this guy's a troll.
You know, no, I'm not a troll. I'm for real, real.
Trolls live under bridges, and I don't think they have telephones to call in.
Look, they took down that Berlin Wall in Germany, right? But they're going to build it here between Mexico and America. Open your eyes, man. It's all happening.
Well, I don't like the wall. I mean,
so
I'm against the wall.
What does the wall have to do with the Internet and
Nazis running ICANN?
Muslims?
Well,
and
you'd have to talk to Pink Floyd, somebody, about the wall. You know, the real wall.
You're pretty far out, man.
How high are you right now?
Yeah.
I'm a freedom fighter. Well, you know, we got to prepare for this freedom war that's going on because they're wanting to take away our freedom. And
so on a scale of one to Snoop Dogg, how much weed have you smoked tonight?
Well, I got some really good shit out
of here. Oh, we can't have you say that word on the radio. I'm so sorry. That's too bad. I was going to get the bomb. I was trying to get to the bong sound effect, but I couldn't get there in time before he used the S-bomb on the air.
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was interesting, I guess. Let's go to David in San Francisco. You're on Free Talk Live. And no, the United States does not control ICANN anymore. Remember that news headline, Chris, from a couple years ago where, like, ICANN, which is the internet...
Is it even that long ago?
I think it was a couple of years back, maybe a year or two ago.
October 2016, okay, so about a year ago.
Yeah, that sounds a bummer.
So ICANN was very highly controlled to some extent by the United States government, lots of influence by
it
them.
The government had its tentacles in it, but didn't run it.
Right. But now they're less tentacled into it, I think. I forget exactly what happened.
Right, and it wasn't long after this that a lot of the new top-level domains started popping up to where previously it
like
had
dot
been...
church or dot...
club
or whatever.
I think there's a dot Republican where the Republican Party wound up. Well, anybody with $100,000 can buy their own top-level domain now.
Really?
Because it's not run by national governments.
I see.
ICANN is
more
an independent thing. It was created by treaty, but you know, most government, and I think it was basically every government around the world, wound up, you know, basically removing their tentacles for the most part.
All right, so let's go to David in San Francisco. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was going to raise something, maybe give you a softball question for libertarians in you. I noticed the other day with Roy Moore that he created a foundation, and his foundation is called the Foundation for Public, or excuse me, I'll start over again, Foundation for Moral Law. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, that's a phrase that should be equal access to anybody in the world, right? Foundation for Moral Law. Anybody should be able to discuss that. But he trademarked it, basically.
Huh.
He's got a, you know, a nonprofit that he's been milking for a long time. In fact, if you just go to Wikipedia and Foundation for Moral Law, you find that it is a trademark, well, it is a 501c3 nonprofit, and they claim that he personally took about $1,080,000 or so, just slightly over $1 million.
On the website, it says the Foundation for Moral Law fights to protect the Constitution and protect the heritage of our country. We don't run from our values. We protect them.
Right. Now, if you think about what its purpose is, you know, if America is supposed to have a separation of church and state, here's his nonprofit that's trying to submit legal briefs to all sorts of different cases and subvert the separation of church and state. His nonprofit, you know, business model is to subvert separation. He's trying to introduce religion into all aspects of American government.
Right, so, and I grew up not too terribly far away from the town that Roy Moore is from.
Oh.
He got his fame in Gadsden as the Ten Commandments judge because he had the Ten Commandments plaque inside his like district courtroom.
Right. Wow.
And well, when he was told,
it was on the front lawn. Yeah.
Well, no.
Well, he did both.
He started off as a small town judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a Ten Commandments plaque in his courtroom. Right. When he was told he had to remove that, he, you know, became this freedom fighter for standing up against the people going against, you know, Christianity and trying to destroy religion in America. And then he got elected to the Supreme Court, and he twice got impeached the Supreme Court and removed.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, perpetually run for governor and now U.S. Senate. So his entire career has been made of being the victim of somebody is trying to destroy Christianity in America.
In the government.
Yeah, and it's his version of Christianity.
Correct.
You know, and that's the, you know, crazy part of it is there's supposed to be a separation because there are many kinds of Christians. There are Amish, there are, you know, Mennonites, they're Quakers, they're you know, dyed in the wool Jimmy Falwell or Jerry Falwell, you know, Jimmy Swaggart, who's the one that had the Christian Coalition and got caught with millions of dollars worth of corrupt gambling money. You know, the idea that there's a lot of kinds of Christians.
Sure,
and right. For but,
him,
you know, even
him to claim that there should be only his version of Christianity, right. And he's getting a nonprofit status to demand certain things in the name of Christianity.
And you've
so
got,
just,
you know,
how does a libertarian look at trademark of Foundation for Moral Law? Are we going to have to owe him a nickel every time we say the word Foundation for Moral Law?
No. I don't plan
That's
to ever say
works.
The name Foundation for Moral Law. You but can... even so, instead of just saying, you know, there's a bunch of denominations of Christianity, there are a lot of flavors of Baptist. There are a lot
sure.
of flavors of Presbyterian. There are a lot of
there
flavors
used to be
of 15, Methodist.
15,000 kinds of Baptists. There used to be, and it's been since Jerry Falwell and what's it, Billy Graham. They've been consolidated, but yeah, there were single churches in the woods with three parishioners, you know, and they were the, you know, swinging Baptist of the Holy, you know, this and that. There were actually over 15,000 of them, and so you're right. And this whole idea that this guy, he's, you know, it may sound foolish, but this trademark thing. Not only is he demanding that everybody live up to his version of Foundation for Moral Law, but he's squeezing out anybody else that wants to use the phrase.
I find the phrase moral law to be, you know, pretty ridiculous because most laws, in my opinion, are immoral in that they force
Correct.
Their viewpoint on other people with the threat of violence. Thank you for the call tonight,
sure.
David, but we're out of time. So we'll join you tomorrow night. In the meantime, you can join us online anytime you want. Download episodes, get interactive with other listeners and hosts. It's all there and it's all free. And don't forget, if you want to support the show for $5 a month, you can do that through the AMP program and get some cool perks over at amp.freetalklive.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.